You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Our scripture reading today is going to be in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now seek the favor of men or of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And now, Father God, we do pray that you add your blessing to this, the reading of your word. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Right, well, we're into Galatians again, and I'm looking forward to getting through this epistle because there's some really meaty material as we get into this, and some good answers to perhaps some of those who come from a covenant theology background. This would be a very interesting study, especially for them. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time that we have got to open the scriptures. We pray, Lord, that each one of us would be refreshed from thy holy word. We thank thee, Lord, that we can read the scriptures in our own tongue, Lord, that it's preserved for us. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, right. Well, Galatians, we started last time. We looked at chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. Up here, I've got... I should put this... I think we can hit that button. Yeah, that's better. This is actually an outline, a structural outline, that was put together by Charles Welch. And it's a great outline, but we won't take this as definitive. But it's a good place to start, and one of the reasons why these outlines are good, especially for a preacher, is immediately you can see a chunk of work that you can sort of go through. And so these are literary outlines. That means what happens is, as you study the scriptures, you look for a repetition of words. And then what happens is, remarkably, there is this structure that really just comes out of the pages. And it's always an amazing thing to me that this should happen. And I believe it's a mark of the inspiration of scriptures that it's like this. Because remember, these are epistles. These are simply letters. And you can write a letter. You can try this yourself and write the thing and then go through it and see if you can get a literary structure that's going to pop out of your handwritten letter. It's not going to happen. And so this, again, I think is a great lesson of inspiration. However, we will take Anton Ego's formula concerning criticism. You've seen Ratatouille, haven't you? Yeah, okay. So at one stage in this movie, this critic of restaurants and people, cooks and so on, he comes to this tremendous realization, and I won't read all of this through, but essentially what he's saying is the work of a critic is a really easy thing to do, and but the truth of the matter is that being constructive and making things is so much more difficult, and if that you were really honest as a critic, you'd have to say that your criticism of the work is really the thing that's garbage. And the thing that was created really deserves far more credit than you give it. And it is easy to be a critic. So easy to stand back and pull down. Pulling things down is easy. Building things up is so much more difficult. So after saying that, we will certainly be a critic to some degree, but we also recognize the great contributions that others have made and to give them due credit. So Galatia, this is the Roman province of Galatia, as far as we can determine it. And here is a sort of a more close-up structural analysis of verses 1 to 24, chapter 1. And I want to point out something here, which is, again, remarkable. And it points you to the theme of what's going on, especially in chapter 1. You'll notice you've got A1, B1, A2, B2, A3, B3, if you can see it from this side, perhaps not. But A1, not from men, neither through man, but. So it's not, neither, but. Can you see that? Not, neither, but. Now look at the corresponding A2. Not, neither, but. And you go down to A3. Not, neither, but. It's quite distinctive. It's quite apparent that there is this structural building up of a doctrine here. Repetition, going over things, putting things in a slightly different context. But the same kind of theme is being developed here. And recognition of this is a great help. Not from men, neither through man, but through Jesus Christ. Not according to man, neither from man, nor by teaching, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And then, not flesh and blood, neither the apostles, but into Arabia. You see, and it's the same idea going on here. He didn't confer with flesh and blood, not even the apostles. He went into Arabia, and this is apparently where the revelation came. So you've got this great structure that's here, and we should take notice of that. Now, last time, I pointed out this fact, that when you start from the very first, the first verse, he goes straight into a defense of his apostleship. That is unique. That is amazing. You can read 2 Corinthians 11. There's a great development there concerning the defense of his apostleship. But it is kind of unique that right at the beginning, he goes into this defensive mode, which shows you that something's going on in this assembly and assemblies concerning his authority. There's been some sort of questioning of his authority, and he's moving into this defense. Why is this a weak thing that he does? It's not at all. It's an acknowledgement of a process. And if you look at this process, like I say, I don't want to go out of Galatians, but just while we're in this introductory mode, just hold your place there in Galatians and go to 2 Timothy, chapter number 1 and verse 15. And then compare that with 2 Timothy 4, verse 4. By the way, I'm sort of having a hard time with this hand because I nearly attacked the end of my finger and took it off just about because I was cutting up salad. And the way I do salad is I get the biggest knife, the sharpest knife, and I'm talking to Seppi and I'm going, hey, hey, whoops, hey. And I did slice a chunk off it, believe it or not. A chunk. Took off the nail and a part of the bed of the nail. And it didn't bleed immediately, but then it started to. And boy, she was pumping out the blood. So I got a paper towel, put it over it. And I said, oh man, please, I don't want to go to the hospital for a stitch or anything. And then it stopped bleeding. I said, oh, well, once it stops bleeding, I'm okay. So it did. But I think it's going to be okay. I think I'm going to be able to use that finger. I was really disappointed because I wanted to practice playing the guitar. I got one of these Groupon things, which enabled me to hook up to a site which they've got all these videos, teaches you how to play the guitar. And that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to get into that. But now I've got to wait for this heals. Okay. But anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. So let's have a look at 2 Timothy 1 and we compare these two. So 2 Timothy 1, verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And we've talked about this verse, but notice they turned away from me. Then when you go right to the end of the last chapter, and you look at 2 Timothy 4, 4, it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Turn away. That's repeated They turn away from me, of whom is Phygellus and whom I all in Asia turn away. And then at the end, what happens? It's verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Me, truth. They turn away from Paul, and it has its fruit. And when people turn away from the apostleship of Paul and the authority that he has, what happens is they end up turning away from truth. And so it is completely sensible for him to address this whole matter of his authority in Galatians 1:1. And as you read through it, he then goes down and he says in verse 2, "And all the brethren which are with me." Why does he do that? Again, he's laying claim to his authority and he's got witnesses to back up with what he's saying. All the brethren with me. So he's not simply addressing these people as Paul and Timothy or just Paul. He's now using the brethren that are with him. Why? Because he's backing up the claims that he's making. And he goes on through and it goes and says in verse 5, "To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And there is that first section that we did last time. And we talked about the fact that the word amen means truly. Now, verse 6. This is our starting point. Verse 6. And it says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed." So his marveling relates not simply that they are removed, but that they're so soon removed. It is remarkable, isn't it, that that should be the case. The wonderful truths of salvation by grace, and yet people want to go back into various law systems and works to try and justify themselves. And there's all sorts of reasons why they do it. And you can think of plenty of reasons why people today do this. One is a psychological thing, and that is that they can feel justified by what they do because they can see it. They can see, look at that person over there. Isn't he a godly person? And he's living his life, and he's displaying his life, and you know, and see, that's what I've got to do to be justified. And then if you can sort of list a number of things that you have accomplished, then you can feel, well, yes, see, I've done it. Or, unfortunately, an appeal to the flesh, look how much better I am than this person next to me. Look how, see, it can appeal to the fleshly nature of us all. You know, and we all have this old sin nature in us. But he marvels at how soon it happened. Not that it happened. He recognizes, you know, that it does happen. But so soon, it was a marvel. And it says, "removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." Now here comes a difficulty that many people face with this book. Because it says, which is not another. So it starts off saying, in verse 6, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another." Well, it is or it isn't. You know, it's another gospel, but it's not. And so you've got to sort of work out from the context and from as much help as you can gain what is being meant by this. And the first thing is to acknowledge a difficulty in your understanding. There's too many people, I think, who come to the scriptures and they are going to come with some theological bias, and we all have some. And then what we do is we can't try and impose that onto the scriptures. What we need to do is say, okay, I don't quite understand this. And then try and get from the context what's going on. Now, we do have some help, though. Because it's the word here. He uses two words here. One is this one. Heteros. Heterodoxy. Different. Doxology. Heteros. And then, so that's what he says here, it says in verse 6 at the end, "unto another gospel." That's the heteros, it's a different gospel. And then it says in verse 7, which is not another. Which is not another. So he uses a different word there, which is a good pointer. But they are synonyms to a degree. There's a lot of overlap between these two. But this one here, the heteros, means different in respect of kind, like a genus. And this one is different, but of the same kind. So here, this different thing comes up right at the very beginning. Let's read it again, and let's carry on, and I'll interject a few things as we read it. So verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It's a different gospel, which is not another of the same kind, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So this different gospel is a perversion. It's a perversion. And we'll read more about how this is perverted and what way it's perverted. But then this raises an issue, doesn't it? Doesn't it automatically raise an issue in your mind? Well, then that must mean that there are other gospels of the same kind. And can we find, I mean, I can take you to a lot of passages in Paul's writings where you can see this, but let's try and just stay within Galatians without jumping all over the Bible. So if you look at chapter 2 and verse 7, look at this. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And it goes down and explains the nature of this. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So here you've got two gospels mentioned. Right? There's two gospels here. Now you've got a choice to make. You're either going to say that they are different in the sense of they're not of the same kind, and if that's the case, then you've got a real contradiction in the scriptures. But if you allow that they are of the same kind, and they have different emphases, and there will be different content, but based upon the same idea of salvation by grace, but particularized to these two different groups, then that's not a problem. Let me show you another verse. Let's just stay in Galatians. All right? Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Can you see the issue that I'm trying to get at? There is an issue here. And if you don't face it, you'll always have a problem with it. So it says this in chapter 3 and verse 8. I want to track down other gospels of the same kind. I understand a different gospel, which is a perversion. Okay, chapter 3, verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, and what does it say? In thee, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So there in Galatians 3, verse 8, I'd submit to you that you've got a gospel of the same kind. That is, if you were to take the revelation that was given to Paul and put it on top of that, then it's consistent. It's absolutely consistent. You'll see justification by faith, by grace through faith. You'll see it in there. You'll see in there the sacrifice of Christ and all that's pertaining to that. And you'll see salvation by grace. But you need the particular revelation that was given to Paul that rides not on the surface, but in the scriptures. And Paul has it pulled out of it for him. So, there's some interesting things in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 1, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Isn't it interesting that within the scriptures there are some deep things, and there's some things that you can learn as you go through, which, well, if you're just reading quickly, you might miss. And it says in verse 8, but though we or. And now notice he says, but though we. So now he includes the brethren of verse 2 and all the brethren which are with me. He now includes them in this. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So, changing to a different gospel, not of the same kind, is going to bring some tremendous curse. Isn't it interesting also that this word accursed comes up? Because it comes up very much within a Jewish context. And while I don't want to go out of Galatians, if you go right to the end of, now let's see, is it 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians? It's one of the two where he says, let them be anathema maranatha. Right at the very end, he says that, whereas they're cursed at the Lord's coming. Very much a Jewish sort of context there. And he says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So you can see that people are troubling this particular group of people. They've come in and they've begun to teach another, a different type of gospel. And he's warning them that there's a curse that's coming on them if they were to be obedient to this. And people, Judaizers, are coming in and doing this. Now, are these things happening today? Well, not in precisely the same way, but in similar ways. People are listening to the ideas of Judaizers, people who want to put them others under Sabbath day observance, trying to put people under the law, taking them away from the message of salvation by grace. So you can see that, yes, we can learn from an Acts epistle. People who understand right division and understand that something unique and different was given to Paul the prisoner are not put at some disadvantage. Quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. Because when we know where the divisions are, when we know the message which is uniquely ours, we can read anywhere we want to go and we can attain and understand scriptural understanding which does not contradict God's will for us in this age. But you've got to get the right division first. Get the ABCs of right division first, my friends. Then get into Galatians. And it goes on like this. By the way, he repeated it. Isn't that interesting? Repetition. Why do you repeat things? Well, Seppi and I, we're involved with teaching a lot at university. We repeat a lot. Why do we repeat a lot? Because that's how people get to remember things. Yeah. repeat. There's a program on TV, I don't think you have it in the United States. It's an English program. It's called Coronation Street. Would you ever have heard of such a thing? It's the most ridiculous program on TV, in my opinion. But it also has a huge following around the world. And people, it's just soap opera. It's an English soap opera. And people, they just travel on boats and planes to go to the set where this is filmed. It's still going. It started way back in the 50s, I think, 1950s. And it's still going on. And you can go and take these tours and watch, you know, Coronation Street and meet the actors and all this kind of jazz. And people will spend all their savings to do all this sort of stuff, you know. But anyway, there was a guy on there. And he has this manner of speaking, which is totally repetitive. He says, you better watch out. You better watch out for that. And that's how he talks all the time. You know, just keeps on repeating. It does work. You do remember. And it's repeated because of importance. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now here is a very fascinating passage. For do I now persuade men or God? Now persuasion, you know, in this context means that you are showing to God that your activities are right. And he backs this up again. He says, or do I seek to please men? Or, for if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Boy, that's a good message for preachers, isn't it? In the end, A preacher, if he's going to do his work, he's got to have a free pulpit. And he's got to be able to preach what the scriptures say and say it with confidence. Having a whole bunch of people, hey, here, watch that, don't say that. Don't say that, you know, he'll be offended, this person over here. He believes in water baptism, this lady over here. And this person over here, Lord's Supper, well, don't watch it, you know, don't say it. And you get up there and you've got all these shackles around you, you know, and you can't preach because I might offend this person. And in your mind, you've got all these contradictions going on in your head about what you should say. The man of God's got to be free of all that. And he just sees Christ, and he just preaches, no matter what. Isn't that what it's like to be a patriot in a way? In another setting. It's like a patriot, isn't it? I mean, what are you going to do? Oh, I don't want to offend this. What about the Constitution? What about the things that matter for the nation? Someone's got to take the pain, right? What is the Constitution? Is it just a piece of paper? Well, it will be just a piece of paper unless someone takes the pain, right? You've got to be free. You've got to be able to say the things that are right. Someone has to do it. And if we keep on saying, well, it has to be that person. It's got to be that person over there. Then no one says anything. We've got to be bold. Paul says this about the gospel as he ought to be. And he goes on, if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Pleasing men will bring bitter fruit, my friends. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Again, the outline. It's repeating, isn't it? Here we go. For I neither received it of man. No, he didn't receive it of man. And he says, neither was I taught it. No, he didn't get taught it by Peter. He didn't get taught it by the other apostles. No, no. How then? He says, but by the revelation, apokalypsios, the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's an unveiling. This unveiling occurred for Paul by Jesus Christ. Very different from the other apostles. Very different. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, you read about this. And last of all, he was seen of me, you know, as a one born out of due time. And he goes on and he says in verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation. What does that mean? Oh, you've heard of my speaking, my accent? Still don't understand you. In time past. Boy, don't you have some interesting accents in the United States? I mean, I've got a bit of a weird one, but that's expected, right? Because I'm come from over there. But, you know, north to south, west to east, that's a huge variation. And even amongst yourselves, you have a bit of a hard time sometimes understanding what's going on. It's a really interesting thing. But when he says this, for ye have heard of my conversation time. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about some special accent. He's talking about his manner of life. How he's lived his life in time past. In the Jews' religion. In the Jews' religion. The Jewish faith. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. Now look at this modern word. And wasted it. We use this in our modern language. Some of the kids at university, I hear this language and some other too. And wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. When he says many my equals, you know what he means? He means my equal age. Those of my same age. In mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Here was a man who had a background in the Jewish religion, and he was changed, man. Do you notice the import of this? The import of this. Well, here he is. See, he's trying to show to these people his authority and how that morally speaking, if you consider his conversation, his background, it does not make sense to say that he just made all this up. You can't do it. It makes no moral sense. Here is a man who was exceeding zealous of the traditions of the Jewish religion, and suddenly, whoomph, it's a turnaround, man. And he starts preaching the faith that he once destroyed. You see, it's all pointing to revelation. Something remarkable happened to Paul. He wasn't taught it by man. It didn't come from the origin of man. It was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he was busy above all his fellows with the traditions of his elders. And man, he was persecuting the church, and suddenly he was changed. How can you reconcile that? You can only reconcile that God intervened in his life and turned him around. That's the only way you can reconcile that. He's building up his case here and profited in the Jews' religion. Isn't that interesting? The Jews' religion. Now, I have absolutely nothing against the Jews as a group of people. But you know what Christians have done is that they only see the Jews' religion in the Bible, and they seek to make themselves Jews. Because they can see the covenants, and because they can see the promises given to Israel, and not see the wonderful promises that are given to us, they seek to make themselves Jews in one way or another. Do you know there's a hairy group of people called the Rastafarians? Have you heard of the Rastafarians? We've got them in New Zealand. Oh, man. I should tell you this one little story, and then we'll close. There was a lovely elderly lady. Mavis was her name. Retired. And I used to go door to door in Auckland City. And I said, well, Mavis, you know, we're going to go into Kingsland. This is a bit of a rough area of Auckland. Would you like to go there? Oh, yes. Yes. She's got more guts than most people. This, you know, she'd come with me, and we'd go to door to door, and then we came to this door. There was a funny smell at the front of this place. And the door opened, and here was a Rastafarian. And the Rastafarians believe that Haile Selassie was the second advent of Jesus Christ. Believe it or not. And they virtually worship this guy. But they also worship the weed. Because after all, God made the weed. The herb. He made the herb. And the ultimate herb is the weed. And they are just smoking this stuff silly. All the lights were off in this. All the windows were closed in the house. And they said, oh, come on in. I said, I looked at Mavis and I said, you want to go in here? Yeah, okay. We walked in. And we walked into this large lounge area, no light. And it took about a minute for our eyes to accustom to the situation. It was very dark. And then we realized, because we could see these embers, red embers, sort of, you know, starting to light up all around the walls. And in here was a smoking ring. Yeah, and they were going to town on the weed. Yeah. And the smell, we both got a high out of it. You know, because of the smoke and the stuff and just breathing the air. It was just absolutely rife with this. But the point, okay, that's not the main point I wanted to make. But one of their doctrines, this group, was, other than the weed and Haile Selassie, was that you can trace what tribe of Israel you belong to by the date of your birth. It's 12 months, 12 tribes. So you just look at the month and they'll tell you, oh yeah, you're in, you know, Reuben, or something like that. And this is how they get themselves into the promises of Israel. There are other ways that people do these things. And they will put themselves in a situation where they will take a different gospel and put themselves under a curse. And we need to be really careful with this. We need to be upfront with people, and we need to show people Paul's authority. That's a good place to start. You say, where do you start in all this right division? Well, one place to start is to show people Paul's authority. And they say, oh yeah, okay, looks like that's right. He's got authority. Okay, now what does he say? You say, but what about Moses? Yeah, that's right, Moses. Moses was this dispenser of law. All right? Now, who's the dispenser of grace? Okay? And we can talk about that, and we can talk about the law came by Moses and grace and truth by Jesus Christ, and who did Jesus Christ pick right at the end, the last of the apostles? Okay, we talk about Paul and all his authority, and then ultimately lead them on to the revelation of the mystery. Well, there we have our discussion right up to there, verse 14, and we will continue next time with verse 15, and we'll get into some really neat stuff about Paul's distinctive gospel and how this relates to a special mystery, which is talked about in Romans 16. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've had together, the tremendous truths in the book of Galatians, all that we've learnt. We ask that You would bless it to our lives, that we would walk worthy of the calling, the vocation wherewith we are called. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.